in the election system. And all the information coming over news is totally inaccurate because they're calling a select same set of people. And that's not fine. The Tea Party is made up pretty much of John Q. Holder, and John Q. Holder is dead. So there's going to be some shakeup in November that they really don't expect. Okay, And that's what that was. It was an attempt to total extermination, justified by the fact that they had a lot of, you couldn't call them mixed breed people. They were mixed entities. And you see them in the ancient carvings of bulls, like the Minotaur, was half man and half bull. You see the cherubim on the gates of Babylon that had a lion with eagle's wings and a man's head. They had that kind of disasters as they went. So they got rid of the most of those, not all of them, but they got rid of the most of those, and in the process tried to get the rest of mankind with the same stone. That having failed, they're still not the purpose, but they also have a obligation in their decree to take care of mankind. Now, the exact title, let me find it for you. If the full Bible is the Nephilim Creation of Anasazi Commission Decree. And needless to say, the Nephilim part is what was issued to. So it's called the Creation of Anasazi Commission Decree. Now, I don't have a full copy of that bit, so I don't know that I want one. I don't know how extensive it is. But, nevertheless, Lucifer's tour of being able to tip this decree ended in March of 2005 A.D., or in the month of Adar 3245 Hebrew. I don't know why that doesn't look right to me, but it doesn't. That year is obviously wrong. It's probably when it started. Yeah, okay. That note is wrong. We'll have to correct that. The Anasazi Commission Decree requires them that once man got a soul, to guide him through the spiritual levels of man. Well, you'll notice they haven't done that. They never did do it. They made the pretense of time with Israel by first choosing those that were pure in their generation, and then choosing the Levites out of Israel at that point. They made him the priest. And Moses, of course, encoding the calendar that we know today, and the Holy Law. Well, if you look at what happened, they did not stay the course, and they did not enforce entirely the Holy Law. Two of Aaron's sons brought unclean fire into the presence of the ark and got their ass blasted. But they didn't maintain that. When the Jews and the Levites got together and started selling and reselling the sacrifices, the fun began. Nobody got back. But that was an unclean sacrifice. Why not? Well, the Nephilim wanted to get down so deep they could kill us all without having to answer for it. And the sense of the destiny of all higher intelligence is to reach for the stars. They are responsible for our moral, spiritual, and moral values, if that's it, when we do get off the planet, but we're going to have to do it sometime. And our extraterrestrial travels of our own. The moon being one, Mars supposedly being next. But who knows? That's the beginning of stepping out of the solar system. And needless to say, the fewer of us
up will be.
Am I losing anybody in the process of this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if there are any questions, I'll be glad to have them by now.
Okay, I want to know how these guys did the deluge. And the books of Moses I read talked about the Most High putting the rainbow covenant in the sky. I don't know how they work together like this.
Yeah. All right. The first thing, the deluge did not happen planet-wide. It had worldwide consequences, but it was not a total devastation. As far as they knew, there it was, because it wiped out their known world. But actually what happened, an ice sheet broke off Antarctica. And it broke off with such force it was just literally sliding a better part of the continent. And it had been the Nephilim that had stacked that ice deliberately to do that. That's how they knew it was going to happen 100 years before, because it took Noah that long to build the ark. They first had to raise the trees.
That still doesn't follow because I read about opening the waters of the deep.
Well, that happened too, but they didn't.
Okay.
So once they got the amount of snowpack and ice pack and what have that they needed on the earth to make sure that it worked the way they wanted it, they also did an opposite to balance it at the North Pole. And when they decided then it was time and broke the South Pole off, they broke, they let it shift the Earth on its axis, which changed the internal weather. Up until that time, on the Earth at that time, it didn't rain before then. It just, there was enough moisture in the air to handle everything. And it would condense the dew over the night. That was the bit after that. You had rain and you had everything else because that big ice shelf that was on the north pole, needless to say, it was broken off and melted down too and raised all that water to the oceans. The ocean height right now, they think, is about 200 to 300 feet higher than it was at the time of the deluge. And that could very well be. There is some math to support that. But then once you have rainfall as opposed to high humidity, you can start getting a rainbow by simply shining a sun to it. That's how they did it. Needless to say, that's also a beautiful case that they have a big explanation with me. I'm not quite sure with them on that one.
Well, what about those places that talk about the waters of the deep are sealed up by ice and released by light?
Well, that still happens. You have that all the time. You have it on the Himalayas. You have it on Mount Hood. You have it on Mount Shasta in California. Hell, we have it here. Mount Sandia. Nothing unusual. It's what a lot of snow slides and earth slides are about. If you ever been to a ski slopes of Europe and Switzerland, you'll find that whenever they have an avalanche, there's always reports of lightning. Well, that's just disturbed electricity looking loose is all that is. But it can also be done deliberately, and John too wouldn't have enough stuff to know the difference. So they get that, and they're still doing that, and they, big problem, of course, is that they are going to come for what amounts to the great extermination. Well, we can preempt all that if we can get rid of the socialism. And there's a thing I've been researching for the last week that we've wandered into, and it was mentioned, called the Days of Visitation. Well, there's 15 places in the Bible that we found that has comments about visitation. Well, that has nothing those are not the reputed Armageddon Holocaust or tribulation. That is,
they may be in it
or part of it, but the, those are given a separate essence of all together. So we do have that problem to contend with, but in the days of the dissipation that I really don't like, because I don't know enough about it yet, the waste mixers are all gone. Everybody that doesn't have a seal is up for a rejuvenation of their existence, I guess you'd call it. So going to come and do a hell of a lot of killing. But now whether they will do that after the Holocaust or tribulation just to clean up the mess, or before, I don't know. At the moment, I just don't have the information on it. I don't not have time to check it. But now we have the problem of how do we handle the Nephilim? Well, first, we got to discern them. We got to know whether we're dealing with a Nephilim or who. So whenever you're doing something, an invocation, or practice, if you're just rehearsing the elements, if you feel something trying to interfere with it, discern the bastard. Grabbing and discerning, let that thing go to grab your ass and find out who the hell he is. And it damn well had better be free flowing energy of your own, which cannot be disguised. You'll know it when you get it. Because if it's somebody playing jackass, then I want to know. And I don't care what you do with them in the meantime. You've learned how to bind, how to take into hell and everything else. That's exactly what you do with them. You feel a little bit shy at that point because you have to hold them till you get the body of hell made, the body of damnation made for him, which you can use his energy to make it out of. Put all that stuff in his ass and put him in hell. I guarantee you that one won't be back. So you're going to get those kind of interruptions. Now doing the audience with the Nephilim himself, I made clear reference and clear warning that if any of you are interfered with or distracted by any bit stonewall, whatever, in your practices or whatever, that even if you were trying to learn how to raise the dead, and the corpse you were trying to bring the ladies with an ancient dinosaur, you should still be left alone to do it. Now whether they'll go along with that internally or not, I doubt, but nevertheless, that's what we put it. And there's no reason why some of us listening here could not raise the proven dead if he took the time to develop that. But he did the abilities of the separate ones like clairvoyance, clairaudience, psychometry. Those have to be developed separately and in addition to being familiar with the elements and familiar with the plains of heaven and the depths of hell. And it's an entirely different ballgame. Are there any questions at the moment? Okay, everybody got the Nephilim understood. We are going to start probably next week as we go to do invocations, binding and sending Nephilim into hell along with other people. Now I will cut a page here. I have to scan it, it's easier. It's got the lineage of the Nephilim as we know it anyhow. I got Anu and Antu, or Man and Anu, and Antu. You have Enlil and Enki, and Nehursai, the daughter. And then, of course, out of that two, you've got Baal, B-A-U. And out of Baal and Nehursai, which is Enlil's son, you've got Nimson. And then out of Nimson, you've got Gilgamesh. I'll send you this thing so that you get used to the names, get some idea of the genealogy, because any of them, and they have followers that they can, under their control and command and employee, whatever you want to call it, that they can use. So we can get that together and discern them and burn their ass. Put them right in hell, all four of them. Put them right in there with the death warrant in their ass. And if they object, let them. But we're going to bring up the bullshit of interfering with what we've got to do because it was our job. That's why the anointed over the ages and the disciple was part of the spiritual guidance of the anointed. And here we're getting stabbed in the back for it? No. And that's what happened. And that's what they got to rest in a crap for. And in the process, that's why strung the vase ass out to have him off. He's a lot taller than he was. If you read that part, I hit him broadside because I wanted to hurt him as much as possible without killing him to send as good a message as possible to the surviving that one. And then let the son of a bitch die. I didn't want to kill him and someone. Well, they've managed to keep him from dying at all, but he'll never return to duty. It broke literally every bone in his body right at the joints. I should have hit him harder. Anyhow, that's where we are with him. If you read the entire context of that, we'll have it posted so you can get to it if you haven't. It's a little long. They can hang up some email services. Are there any questions at this point?
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
When we're trying to discern Nephilim, do you think there might be some out of Horace's camp that would volunteer to present themselves and allow us to really like discern them so that we can do an accurate read?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
No problem with it. And as a matter of fact, we'll make it easy. We've already talked about this. If you call one of us up by name and ask for a spirit, you can even get one of my curtains. And what we will send is the one most available with the least priority on their duty. Well, we do have things up there a little bit hot and heavy. There are times it can get real warm and interesting. So, yes, we can do that. And it might even be a good idea. Spend your time when you do this to your patrons. You just think the time to call up or suppose all of his people are not Nephil. But he'll know what you mean and we'll know what you mean and we'll send you a Nephil. And when you call up Hamlin, you're talking about a different breed of Chaldean. You're not some desert punk Arab. This could be something else. And you want to read him too, just for the experience. A man, of course, primarily priest, primarily Hebrew priest, Levites and Jews, not all primarily. But the world of what you're looking for, if you want a Levite, a Levite priest, a true Levite priest, that should be different than the average Jew, because there are no legal Jewish priests, only Levites. You may want to call that one and get a real good read on it. And then you can call up Henry Kissinger and find out what a filthy Jew is.
Okay, for the call up the horseman, do we need their like full name or
No. Just war horse, horse, come on, whatever.
Okay.
rest of it. And we'll read it, we'll take care of it. And we have people already standing by to do that for us.
That's a good question. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Okay.
Anybody else got a question?
Conservatives
the most conservative we can get are in office, and the socialists are out. Now, we don't give a damn what party it is. That is not a matter for us to concern ourselves. But at the moment, the Democrat Party is virtually all communists. We just have to pound the living hell out of them. And that's where our invitation is going to be. Now, as soon as we get through with that, by then, hopefully, you'll have enough practice. And remember, you've got 3 points of practice that you got to get into. The land elements, or the green elements, the planes and depths, which are literally off the ends of the same thing, and the discerning of spirit. You've got to have those three a hell of a lot better rehearsed than you've got them now, or the Nephilim are going to cling you. So once we get this immediate problem, we're going after the Nephilim class in the same process of holding everybody's feet to the fire. We're going to make the Nephilim be on our side about it. They've done it all before, they can do it some more. Any questions?
How are we going to get the Nephilim on our side? I don't understand.
About half of them already are. Fortunately, that half is not the ruling house. So we know which one
of them that don't want their ass burned on our side.
That's the half. especially when they didn't do anything to get it burned. Now, that's why we have got to learn to discern these people. Because whenever you're starting to practice something, and you get a mind blank, if you want to call it that, that something is screwing with it, I guarantee you it's an Nephilim or it's a demon. Well, we have to know which, so you have to handle them different. You handle a Nephilim one way, a demon another, and a demon possessed Nephilim, the third one yet. Still got that one. And then we have a few other extra celestials that we have to get in the mix as we go. But the Nephilim are the first assholes. They're first right now after the communists and the Marxists. If we don't pull the communists and the Marxists loose from this mess that we're in right now, we're just damn near wasting our time with anything else. Every horror story you've ever read is going to be very real and sitting on your doorstep. Any questions? I'm hearing a lot of clicking, is it? Are people checking out, or is that the listeners checking out?
It's not making the big type of checking in and checking out. I'm not getting that big show.
Well, I'm getting a lot of clicking. I'm getting a lot of clicking, because some of them will just get disconnected for the hell of it. And we know when that... We know when that... Hello?
Can also be true with your phone, but I'm not hearing any clicking.
I'm not either.
Yeah, good
thing.
They have
been hearing the
deep
clicking. I
didn't
hear it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what the hell it was. Or where, for that matter. They've been jackassing with our cable and our phone system here for a good while now. We're used to it. I don't like it, but we're going to start that little bit too. By the way, that interference with our communications was one of the things in that audience. And I'm talking about the one with the audience of the fool, but that was the one with the Nephilim forever. We had a change of power structure in the middle of that one. The first guy's name was Ozu. We had, he's a high war emissary. Well, actually, it's called War High Emissary. And in the process, he screwed up. He finally pissed me by talking about his goddamn nose to me. Trying to pull one of their ignorance. They don't know, so we can screw over them routine. And I scattered him all over the better part of the landscape. And then we got a guy that is called, let me see if I can find his name and I'll get it right for you. I want to spell it right too, and I don't remember off the top of my head.
and just dropped it, which they could do.
Yes.
I used to have a military unit commander. You'd see a bunch of us standing around together and say, you guys spread out, I can take you all out with one round. Does this experience of Diane and Shalom's location suggest that we don't need to be gathering very close to where we can all be hit with one round?
Yeah, pretty much. That's why we're scattered out all over the place. Unlike David Koresh, those idiots who want to get inside and have their little fanatical fiefdoms inside a set of walls, the Agurians are spread out all over the place. We're going to stay that way.
So Grand Castle needs to be by just that, not in the living room.
For the time being.
Yeah.
Now once we've educated the Nephilim, that'll change. And we'll have about half of the Nephilim population that's on our side. They're pissed at what's going on about what the voters are here in our particular government. Except that much planet-wide, there's a factor that I want everybody to understand. Horus is not counted among the Nephilim for our targeting. And the correct way to exempt them, or to make sure if you're writing something, so that it's never confused by anybody, now or 100 years from now, it's that mighty, most righteous, and honorable House of Horus. That's the correct title to use on it. Well, it's all three. That's a known title that goes with the righteous houses, or religious class, whatever you want to call them. Mine is the House of Din, D-I-N. The thing is, I don't know, of course I'm adopted into it, but I've had to live up to it. I was raised in the house as a son of the house, and by God, I have to live up to it. Patron fathers there are none too considerate when you got a day of Eden. But we do not attack Horus and his people. That's why you have to learn this discernment. Because it could be one of Horus's people, or a Nephilim out of my own group. I've got a few Nephilim there that would be trying to bail you out of something. The closest one to you that knows the information, or whatever, is the one that's going across. So you have to be able to discern. It's critical. Otherwise, we're going to be shooting at one another and one mounts the friendly fire. If any of you have read about the episodes of friendly fire, you know what a disaster that is. So we have to be able to do these things and do them literally with impunity. Do them every chance you get so that you get that extra level. If it's only a minute, get that extra minute. You're going to need it. Was that someone doing air or someone got cut out in the back end?
I think it's cut off, so I didn't get a chance to hear the tower in right before it got cut off, sir.
Oh, that's okay, honey. We're recording it. We'll put it up. Not a problem.
Okay.
All right. Are there any questions to this point? Well, let me give you some information about the Nephilim. If you did any research online, those of you that had the time and could, about the Jed, you'll also find out the Jeds were in Mesopotamia. Well, if you read, just find any of the names, Sargon, any of them, and then just keep playing the links, you'll see some of the carvings, what have you, where the Anasazi are presenting this to such and such God, or such and such entity is talking or is hearing beer or some damn thing, you'll find that the Nephilim, surprisingly, vary in size. It seems that there are racial differences, if there is such a thing there, and I don't know, they don't seem to be, various in the rules of thumb size of the people involved. And they go anywhere from about 5 feet tall, which is our size, 5-6 feet, that we wouldn't pay any attention to, to as high as 60 feet, which is a bit of an exception of those that are around 50 to 60 feet. Now, what that difference is, I have no idea. But the Nephilim that were, and I'm not sure that they were purebreds, I think they were inbreds, of the city of Gath, G-A-T-H, was where Goliath was from. That's out where he got his name from, Goliath, or from Gath. I don't know what his, and I don't think history records his correct name if he had one, other than the city of Gath. And he was about 9.5 feet tall. So they have these 5 foot intersections, I guess. I don't know. I don't know where they start and where they stop. I did do a quick spin on the episode we were talking about in one of the previous sessions that happened in Brazil. So the guy was looking out his office window and saw a flying saucer land on a mountain. And because he had his office set up with a telescope so he could enjoy all that scenery, he zeroed in on it and saw a couple of entities outside the spaceship walking around it, and the grass was up to the knees. Then he, on the weekend when he got a day off to go over, he went over to where this site was, and the elk of grass is 12 feet high. Well, those were Nephilim. We verified that one. What the hell they were doing on the planet at that time without permission, I don't know. But if they don't pay any attention to God himself, they sure as hell ain't going to pay much more than me. Or any other anointed for that matter. So we're going to get their attention and we're going to keep it. But I want all of you to practice if you don't do anything else besides the invocation and take the communists out of power. Practice Akasha, air, fire, water, earth. Practice your discernment. Practice everything about your discernment. And there's a thing that parallels discernment, and it's called psychometry. And that's where you can touch an object and tell where it's been or what it's made out of, etc. In a pure system. I'm sure you've read about some of the psychics that help solve some of the more mysterious crimes of missing people and what have you, where they need an object that the person touched so that they can make that psychic link. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's the process of psychometry at that point. That is a study that we will get into, but it doesn't hurt if you take something and read it. If you're set to know exactly what you're doing, you guys should take the energy right out of the AED in your hand and throw it and hit things with it and see immediate results. We used to watch the liars on live television when getting along was across the street. We take the energy out of the AED and throw it at them and they just go completely mumfuckle. So they know they've been hit with something, but they don't know what the hell it is. And of course the AED shrews, and that's one of the things that mumfuckle amongst them. So you can do that one quite often. Learn to make yourself a body of light and a good sunlight. Make a sunlight altar. Make it a practice to make yourself one every day. And when you bring that sunlight back, make that sunlight, instead of being your silver cord, make it a golden cord as a sunlight when you come back. That'll give you a bit more firepower. It lets more sun energy come in. As you leave the body, how much better you feel. When you make that body of light go up, charge yourself in the highest realm you can get to. And some of you, whether you know it or not, can actually get above the Zah. We have to take you up to the Zah because that's as far as we can take everybody that we've got under our authority. And some of them don't quite make that. But that's beside the point. You get it up there and get yourself charged as high as you can. realize how much more mental energy you have, how much more spirit of presence you have. There's a thing called the virtue in the Bible. Now, let me explain that one a little bit. I'm sure all of you have had the time when the last day or so of a cold, you just have to get up and get moving and shake the bitch off. Well, part of that is virtue. But Emmanuel had a situation where a woman with a blood issue touched the hem of his garment. That's where that one came from. He was in a crowd of people. I guess they were walking on the street. And this woman knew that if she could get close enough to him and just touch his garment, that she would be healed of this blood issue that she had all the years. And Emmanuel said, "Who touched me?" Before that happened. Because he felt, quote, the virtue go out of him. Well, that's his own personal energy. When you sense yourself and your toes up with, he sometimes walks you through. And like I tell you, to take notice of yourself. What you're noticing, what you're taking, then when you feel that, is virtue. That's the term of mind. And you can use it. It's a power force. When Shalom stalked it to the Red Cross that time with one word, no, she did that on the virtue, energy of the virtue. So, become conscious of that. And when you're practicing and you feel something messing with your virtue or whatever, find out who the hell it is. If they're not there on your behalf and they can't lie to you, you got them. I don't care what you do to them as long as it makes real believers out of them not to do that again to anybody. You don't heal them. They've never cut you an ounce of slack since day one. You don't cut them any. Now this thing with virtue, there was another episode, and it's on line. When Shiloh and I ran into all the spirits and turned all the spirits loose, it took a month or more, I still get a touch and a tingle every now and then. We did that with virtue. But all they had to do was touch us, and it would, or the aura, and it would release them from whatever binding they had been under, whether it had been a natural binding or a Catholic priest binding. Well, if the Catholic priests are not nearly as old as the Nephilim. They're much, much later. And even though they started with the Babylonian bullshit, for the want of a better term, it is still the same ritual that the Catholic Church uses today that we use in the temples with the Nimrod and Semiramis and that Enron. Some of it taught by Marduk, some of it misread by those that Marduk taught. But nevertheless, you can tell it, but that's all pure evil when you touch it, you know what the hell it is. But we've released all these people by using a process of virtue. So when you can set your own aura, that's your virtue. That's normal, and that's good. And you can take it and charge it with what you like, just like you can anything else. And I recommend doing that. You'll need the strength and the energy and the spiritual experience anyhow. When you can feel the difference between a notch of air and find out what it is first in your hands, and you get the tingling sensation or glue stuck something to your hand, that's your virtue doing that. So you can, and you can remove it without any harm or whatever. It doesn't take any effort to do it. There's no damage in it. But that's the process. And the more familiar you are with that, the better. So the Nephilim are going to try everything in our armor. They are not going to miss a damn one. The difference is, and this is your firepower. I want all of you to listen to this very carefully. This is your strength and your firepower. As a PK, or under the authority of a PK, you have a righteous power and holy authority, and the Nephilim or nobody else does. Because the PK is a proven knower of the great testimony. They have a holy seal, and that one changes the rules. weapon will you have that they can escape from? They had to let it all about. They can't defend the gas. They can attack us personally, but they can't defend us themselves against us when we unload our ass. So all of you remember that. Don't be afraid of the Nephilim, because the Nephilim have been around for a million and a half years. I'm going to have some of them wishing to Christ they lived as long as Methuselah, and that was a little over 900. That's a real shortening of their cord, if you ask me. Any questions? Have I lost anybody in the
process? That was a powerful subject, sir. Is it possible to re-tag that one more time, showing the...
Well, you know about your righteous power and holy authority that comes with your seal. Okay? That is an infinite over the Nephilim. If a Nephilim is found jackassing with you, for instance, and someone won't want to go get because of what they've already done and not undone, they have no defense against you. You take their ass and put them in hell, they're in hell. They can't do anything about that. And some of them, fortunately for us, when we take the spirit out of somebody and put it in hell, they die. It kills them. But if they weren't adjudicated guilty, we wouldn't be after them. We don't know who can protect like this, but we're damn good at bringing it to a screeching halt. We're not out trying, looking for somebody to abuse. We don't do that. That's not where we come from. But that doesn't mean that we'll take your bullshit. Then the best thing they can do is stop their horseshit, and then we won't have a problem.
So I have a question.
Yes.
And just bear with me. So with the Nephilim, the question is, how and why do we want them on our side, and what can they do for us?
You mean the Nephilim?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, a couple of reasons why we want them on our side. One is that they are responsible for us whether they like it or not. They do not have the option, shall we say, of not being on our side, because when they decided to create the Isle of Zombie, their decree required them to be responsible. Just like you already have a child, you're responsible for that child. And if you're not going to be responsible for it, you should have had it start with. So they're pretty much stuck with us. Now, what we would like for them to do is to do their job properly, which isn't happening. They're jackassing. They're deliberately setting up the unassaulting of whatever kind of goddamn war they can get, the freedom wars and everything else. Let me give you an example. I put it to them in the audience of the full moon with the Nephilim. Here's a species of people that can come all the way across space. They have space travel down better than we have the goddamn metro train lines. And to do that, they have to transport immense amounts of equipment, supplies, and materials, and what have you. Not only just food, but everything else. But they got to maintain these spaceships in flight. Wherever they are, they got to maintain them. They require energy, operations, the whole bit. And they are so good at it that, remember, They took one spaceship, and they may have created an awful occasion. I don't think so. No one ever said they did. But they had one spaceship that they used for the entire 4 years in the desert with the Israelites, where they fed them manna for 4 years. They traveled around in smoke, a cloud cover, for the day, and then lit it up every night for 40 years. At the time Alexander attacked the city of Tyre, there was flying saucers, flying aircraft of some kind, we call saucers for this conversation anyhow, that shot down the wall of Tyre so that Alexander could take the city. And it's recorded in both accounts, his chronicles and the chronicles of Tyre, once the city was taken. It's covered in both accounts. Well, at that time, Marduk was still alive. Oh my goodness. There's a siren somewhere. Oh my. Yes, I know. So, Marduk, of course, was an apple. And when Alexander finally went to Babylon to take old hands with him, get the blessing or what the hell, because he considered himself a god among them, problem was he found Marduk dead and in a golden coffin, already oiled and spiced and everything for burial. So they had all of this high-tech equipment to mine. They came there primarily for gold, but they took everything that was of any value to build huge structures that we still can't move the blocks and stuff. We don't have anything to lift it with. Transport, and some of it in unspeakably impossible locations from where the stones were cut. They had all of this high technology. Now remember the point, high technology. They had the genetic manipulation that made us. They had the virile sticks by which they could rejuvenate themselves. All kinds of stuff to raise themselves up. Their medical practice was off the scale by comparison. And we're talking about 500,000 years ago. Or not. Now, let's fast forward a little bit and find out that these people are having family spats. So here's the city with the god Dagon, and over here is Pazuzu, and down here and all this kind of poppycock. That was the Nephilim that had these Anusazi servants. So that was their house, and these were nothing more than the house of the farm servants for the plantation, for the want of a better time. But they would get to fighting one another, and so they had these female fortifications. And they would send the Anusazi to besiege this fort in this city and come up in a raid against that one and all this bullshit. But there's a problem. The Anusazi were always armed with swords, bows and arrows, spears, and rock slings. Nothing I think about that. Nobody had a hip blaster like Han Solo. So the only thing they were really doing was disposing of the Anasazi, because this was nothing more than a family fight. It did get carried away at one point when they wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah in the process. Mostly to cover up their own degeneracy. The Emmanuel himself was in that strike. And the radioactive wind blew off of these neutron type, or something similar to a neutron bomb, blew eastward, it wiped out some of their own people in the city of Eridu, which was on the coast of the Persian Gulf. So they had thermonuclear weaponry. They had space flights that were all over the damn place. And then the Upanishads still existed in India, of the space flight that they had among what we would call ordinary fireflies.
We don't know how the hell they were found or what have you. If we do, it isn't public.
So the Neptune, with all of this high-tech power, extended out of Sunday of warriors in these family stacks to do nothing but reduce the out-of-target population, to dispose of them.
And they got caught. I called them on it. Now it's fun again. Now they're mad or bail.
Of course, I don't get it. We're the equal to them. Because we have the one kink that their mama has no defense against. We can put a kink at any part of their armor, anywhere, anytime we want to. And it's because we have the righteous power and holy authority to do it. And we're going to do it. We've got to be a bit better trained. We can't go in there like this bunch of withering Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts that we are right now, by comparison, because we're up against some real motor scooters in this one. Let me tell you, these people are damn good at what they do. And they have been doing it a long time. Any questions? Anything you want me to clarify a little farther? Everybody thought the same thing at once.
I got one, General.
Yeah.
This thing has been a long list of what I used to know as miracles of the Bible. Attributed to the Nephilim, not to the Most High.
Well, that's right. The disasters
are mostly Nephilim. I have a hard time calling the Almighty by the name of Nephilim.
Well, he's not a Nephilim.
I have an equally hard time explaining the great flood or the deluge or whichever, and throw a prophet and rainbow cover in the air to make a promise to let the Nephilim do. I have a real big struggle with this idea.
Well, when the rainbow was put in the sky,
yeah,
the Nephilim told them that's the promise that the world would never be destroyed by water again. And that's because the Most High said you blew it. You're not getting rid of all these people like you want to do. And they're still hell-bent on trying that. I'm hell-bent on saying do it, they don't get it done. Now, I don't care if there's only a few, as in damn few, on a shot they left on the planet to put it back to where it ought to be and get our ass in gear and start reaching for the stars and enjoying the trip. I don't care how many they have to get rid of. And they do have to get rid of them. They're trying to tell you right now, what is the number, the official number now? 7 billion on the planet?
I think I'm 7 or 8 somewhere. Nobody really has a decent count. There's only a count. We can't even count the West Bank of America.
Right. Well,
you know,
I can tell you this on damn good authority. And by 2000, there was over 9 billion on the planet at that time. And right now, there's better than 11. We're piling about 11 and a half to 11 and a third to 11 and a half billion right now. The planet
has doubled their population every 9 years.
Well, when the Nephilim show up, they're going to undouble them at about the same rate of speed. But they're going to start with the impure. Especially the impurers that don't have a steel. The only people that are going to be absolutely immune in the great extermination are those with a holy mark in their forehead. You do and your brother don't, your brother gone. Because there's not going to be time to get it. When they set the date of the executions, there are not going to be any more awarded seals. The last time they did that, they had to ask for more guns, and we've not yet finished sealing all our own
white people in their forehead so that the rest of the demodonna wouldn't kill them. They're not going to let that happen again. That turned into a logistical fiasco. So, we have to be about the business of having a spiritual seal that is there, because that's the rules this one is going to be played on. Now, are there any questions?
What's the time calendar?
We don't know. That's a matter of energy time, for want of a better term. You hear it sometimes mentioned in the Bible that the iniquity was not yet full. What have you, the injustice, the energy of the injustice, and suffering of injustice of what iniquity actually means. And when that iniquity comes full across the pit, it's going to be hell with that. Now, we are about the business of delaying it as much as possible, stopping it if possible. And in order to do that, we've got to start the soldiers we have on the planet. And as soon as we get them down, we've got to maintain that socialist hammer and start to work on the metal at the same time. So we need to be trained. You need to be better trained than you are now. You need to be more familiar with what you're dealing with. Because I guarantee you, standing back and forth and jig, this won't work. No amount of belief in any phony horseshit doctrine out there ain't going to work either. There are no such things as space brothers. There are colleagues in space, but no brothers. Well, I'll fail on that one. Well, that's where we are.
I do have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
In this visitation or intervention, whatever you're calling it, will they be walking among us?
Yes.
On the earth, the way we can kill them?
No, as a matter of fact, they're coming with such a high-powered bit of weaponry. They would be virtually immune to anything that we have as a weapon for a national or global system. For instance, if you took right now a good-sized helicopter that we have, and we have plenty of them, and you were not worried about expending a lot of ammunition, which the new, vehicle. It's got a 20-millimeter cannon and it fires 4,000 rounds a minute.
I think that's just that helicopter.
Yeah, right. Okay, if you had that one, and you had sensors, which it does, so if you go in on one person at a time and do it very quickly and fire one round, there's few people, very few, walking around, including those in the military, that would be capable of even defending themselves against that thing. The average population out here, with their shotguns and deer rifles and gas-9s and every other goddamn thing, would be totally defenseless against it, because he can stand up there a mile in the goddamn air and just bust the chops all day long. I'm running a heat signature and a what the hell the oven. I'm being named by the mouth. They can tell where you are and
tell you. That's one thing when you stand on a mountain and he's on the other side of the mountain firing. You hear the one on his paint the turtle and he fires on the other side of the mountain and takes off the target.
Right. Okay. These guys are coming with stuff a hell of a lot better than that. In other words, they could park one of their ships, which is, some of them can be a couple of miles in diameter, put that son of a bitch in a parking orbit over this part of the Earth, and it would only take three, because you cover three halves of the Earth, you got an auto overlap, and just literally sit there and ping us to death.
until every goddamn one. So we wouldn't have any
defense.
Yeah? You wouldn't have any defense against them even when you could look up and see the ship. So yes, they're going to do that. Now whether they'll be doing that in low-level fighter-type aircraft on the ground as foot troops, with their own type of defensive armor, whether it be magnetic, anti-gravitational, or what the hell that was, or some personal piece of equipment that does the same thing that the mounted Gatlin does on a Navy ship, we'll catch an incoming ship in a flying ship missile and bust it back up there because it's a modified Gatlin gun. It would help somebody to try to land and don't get the right signal into that bitch. But stuff of that nature, yes, you would be able to see them. To be told,
well, that would be yeah. They've been used as so many miles along on this ball bus.
Well, they have an obligation because the old man is in their ass simply because of the decree that they violated. When they made the honor something, they took on the responsibility. And that's the issue. Now, they're trying to handle it one way. I want to handle it another. They just leave, come in and wipe everybody off the goddamn planet and go on about their business, because then they would have no further obligation, especially when the Anunnaki out here start reaching for the stars out of our own solar system like they already do.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Now, we're talking about what they're responsible for the San Francisco lifestyle that they created.
Yes. Wow, I got that confession right out of standing in front of the old man, I could ask a little bit question. And you'll find when you read it that I asked mostly questions that were relevant to my job here, not to the theory of the damn doctrine somewhere else. So yes, that is true. The pollution, the phony religions and everything, they did it and are still doing it.
But why was there a curse on Levi and Judah and not a curse on them? They're responsible.
Because we're going to write a curse on them sufficient to the cause thereof.
I know. Why was there a curse on Cush and it was not a curse on them since it's their responsibility?
Because it was Cush that blew it. Cush did not have to get in on that curse. The curse was on Canaan. But he tried to outsmart God. That's why Cush got in.
And if they're responsible for everything, why are they not responsible for the Cain and the Cush curses?
Well, it was Ham that blew it. It wasn't Ham. Ham was on the receiving end. Ham was jealous of the Oh, you're right. I know what your question is. Shut up and listen to the answer. You're over here in some left goddamn field and hung up. The Nephilim had just got through creaming mankind. Ham, Shem, and Japheth were the genetic tool to start the whole thing over again to put the Al-Sanzi back in operation. Ham blew it. Noah put one of his acts as a lesson that should have lasted no more than four generations. But they decided the Cushites. And the Canaanites decided to outsmart God. And we're not talking about outsmarting the Nephilim. We're talking about the Most High himself. Over the curse that Noah had. But remember, the anointed were not no answer to the Nephilim. No judge for them. And when that happened, they had to back Noah's play. And the Most High himself put the curse on Cush. Because Cush decided they knew more than the Most High. Outsmarting an Nephilim wasn't the problem, nor the issue then, and it's not the issue now. And that's why the curse is still on Canaan and on Cush, except for those that come out of Canaan and get a field for themselves. So there's no need to put a further curse on them, but the one we're going to stick in the Nephilim's ass, let me tell you, is already sitting somewhere. Because they had a date of visitation too, I asked specifically. Now, that puts a little bit of bit in the game.
going to have a day of visitation. The world to them in the days of your visitation. Now, I don't know at this moment what the terms of that is, when it's going to happen, who's going to do it, and what have you. But I do fully understand the situation we're in it deep in here. As far as we find Judah, there is a curse in their ass, and a magnificent one. Because me and some of the people in this conversation put it there. Primarily the girls of the Grand Council at that time. The Greek Kitty, Roslyn, and James Reed was with us, I know. Shiloh and Diane were all there when we did it. There is a beautiful curse in their ass, and there's no longer blocked or bound or anything else. All you gotta do is go over and look on the front page of our website. There it is. The irrevocable curse. So that one's on the Levites and the Jews to the exclusion of Bethlehem and everybody else. As was the righteous decree, I gave them 1 minute to a 30-day warning that they ignore it. That's what the decree is. And you ought to read that one, because it's in effect too, and that one can't do anything about it. We have that one in the audience too. That point came up very clear. So that one is there. The next one, we're going to prepare a curse for them. As a matter of fact, we are a curse for them. When we unload in their ass and they can't do anything about it, we're a living curse for them. So I don't know that we have to write one. I think we ought to, for the hell of it. Any more questions?
Hate themselves because they're black.
There's just absolutely no common sense reason for it. Except for the misery of being a black person in this age and generation. Now, that part we can change. But it's got to start with the black community. Rotha came up with the 3 points that are the most predominant. And they apply to the rest of the planet damn near as well, or equally as well in my opinion. First, you get rid of the hallelujah worship, the praise Jesus, because it's bullshit and never did work. Next, you get rid of the race mixing. If race mixing would work, there'd be no black people left on the planet for now. And the third one is to get rid of the homosexuality. I don't like it. I've never liked it, but I was never in a position to do anything about it until after the appointment. The evidence is, I want you to look at it yesterday. If they're so crazy on the black people, I would like to know what the hell the problem is in every city, every major black population is what? It's a goddamn war zone. Every one of them. Why? Why is it infested with open, rampant crime and violence and so guilt that they'll walk the streets and some of them even in the daylight, let alone at night? Well, if that isn't a curse, I don't know what the hell you call it.
Yeah,
that's true. Thanks to that Jew socialist manipulation to keep you that way. All duly endorsed for the Nephilim. So we keep backing this thing up and we begin to see that, well, there's justifiable cause in the black community because a lot of them just want to stay that way. There is still a lot of unjustifiable cause for those that don't and can't do anything about it. That's where I get to step in and say, okay, let's get rid of this goddamn curse. And here's where you start. And of course, that pisses a lot of people off. You tell some of these dope pushers and whatever with a white crack whore that he can't race mix, and he's all upset, I assure you. But it doesn't change the bottom line for the black community. And that's
it. Yeah, and it's for me, I am racially mixed, so then also knowing the stress that that causes on a person, the middleman could cause problems, or issues, I will say, as well as the, how kind of look like, so that it's all down to me in the world. But then you see in our own culture, there is no culture anymore. You know, Asians and Germans, all kinds of different people have their own cultures. As black people don't even have a culture anymore, if we do try to, it seems that they're saying, oh, yeah, you can't do that. I feel that that's the most important thing that we bring about the, I can't get into the big word, blackness, that create our own culture, remember who we are, because we're lost.
You're absolutely right. And that's what will happen with Kush. When Kush starts pulling themselves out of Canaan, and stopping all the Canaanite activity when I tell them where they are, and start living by holy law, we'll say, so they can stand with the righteous, they'll find that they have their own culture that will return to them, that they will develop themselves. But until then, I don't think the lifestyle in the war zones is much of a culture. Nothing you damn well want to perpetuate it now. And you've got entire sections of the population that are falling into that same curse trap. Talk to somebody on the street out of one of these spit street gangs. And he sounds exactly like an uneducated Negro.
Man,
damn bullshit.
It's a stupid redneck that's falling into the goddamn mess and cracked all of the bullshit. And his language is the same way. If you took the word man out of their vocabulary, they couldn't say shit for a mouthful. Well, that's a way into hell, not a way out. But it's got to start where it started so that it can be stopped from where it started. The only way to do that is to bring cookie out of the can. The whole damn house of cards would collapse if you did that one. Socialism would fall flat on its ass, but they would think it was an earthquake. Well, the earth actually shift. And that's what we're up against. That's what we're about doing. We're going to see to it that happens. We are making that happen. I thought the first time, we had the invocation of, what, 3 or 4 times? And this mega black church situation in Atlanta comes out with woodwork.
You know, maybe a week? Which our week is about 6 days.
Something like that. And I
see we have triple hit on them. Every one of those 3 invocations show through, and that's it. That preacher, molesting little boys. The apostles just does your religion, there's your homosexuality, and there's some kind of a race-based problem in there, too. Something white. I don't remember, kids being aged or something, kids of a different race. So, queer race-making creature.
Yep, it all hit at one time. And he's guilty. They got him. He went through wedding ceremonies with these people.
Oh, he was supposed to speak to it today.
Yeah,
he was. Why he canceled two television interviews and a radio in debt to speak to the congregation about it today. Be sure to catch the news, maybe we'll catch some snippets and snippets of his denial and his, shift the blame, which is what his lawyers were advising him to do.
That's a testimony against that congregation that he was even allowed in the pulpit today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
And
that one.
Well, that's one among many of the testimonies. The fact that they're worshiping today in a place.
That don't make any difference. Ain't nobody from on high in that place of worship now that it's in the final temple.
But we were talking about testimonies.
Gotcha.
Okay, I gotta check out. It's here. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care of it. Yeah, I'm out of here. Yep, and it's about that time. If nobody has any more questions, we've been at it for a little over an hour.
I was gonna say one thing. If it comes out of a general consensus, I'd be willing to start the last 15 minutes early and take that 15 minutes for an extra gym practice.
Good idea.
If I want to come into it.
Good idea.
Speak to that another time. We'll get together on the gym and do 15 minutes study.
Okay, that's kind of before me and I answer. No, before.
And then everybody said, let's do it before we'll be charged up. Then we get the training invitations. But it'd be up to everybody to get a crowd where you're bothering with it. So, let somebody know, let me hear Bobby or Todd, I don't know, and we'll coordinate something post-haste.
Yeah, we can do that. That's a good idea.
When the bell next, everybody have a turn to speak, what do you feel? Run the planes up and down. Everybody have a turn to speak, what you feel. And then we can call those, call Lord Horace, send us an effort so we can study and be safe in a group.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. How would you learn to work with that? So, just, let me know, when's best for the majority.
No, why don't we just plan to start Monday?
Monday sounds good.
Patrice, I guess that's, did it fall on you to set the meeting in the blue earlier?
Yeah, not a problem. Not a problem.
Notice to everybody, if you can make it a 15-minute early training.
Yeah, not a problem. I can just send out an email to everybody first, and then send out the meeting second.
Yeah, okay.
So that they're all notified, hey guys, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
No problem.
What?
Starting tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, children, I'll bid you good night.
Bye-bye.